All right. Welcome back, folks. Good to see y'all. It's been a minute, as in a day. We normally go live every single day. But yesterday we were at the game and, well, it's hard to record after a game like that, but it's even harder when you get home at 5 a.m. and you just pass out. So,
yeah. Can I get out front of it now, Jake? Just for those of you who are wondering, God, what happened to Gary's audio? It doesn't look like he's in a studio. Well, guys, you guessed it. I am in a dining room right now on AirPods. So if you have any bits and pieces you want to put together and say, hey, Gary, fix your audio, now you know why it is what it is. And it'll be better in about, I'd probably say about 5 or 6 days. Vacation's almost over for your boy.
Well, we love to hear that. And also don't love to hear that because, I mean, vacation's fun and everything. But obviously, I miss seeing old reliable Big Red right there. So,
Me too, man.
Yeah. And not quite gold. Maybe someday, but
we'll see. It might be gold if the Yankees keep playing the way they did today. I mean, this is what we were hoping for when we went to the stadium. We felt like, Jake, I remember we were talking before the game of yesterday. We said, oh, maybe the stars are aligning and this is going to really work out for Yankees U. Did not. It did not work out for us. It was an ugly game. I know it got tight there towards the end. I know we were recording those home runs from Aaron Judge. I was in the 300 sections recording that home run, which is pretty cool. But I will say, today was just a demolition. Garrett Cole was exactly who he needed to be. This is why I told people, don't read into those starts against Boston. Don't freak out about what you see on one given day because he is who he most often is. Today, Garrett Cole was special.
He was. He absolutely was. He's been special really since he came back. The beginning was a little bumpy, but when he got going, I mean, he looks like the best pitcher in the league again. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what I've seen. And I feel like it's weird, but we almost don't talk about Aaron Judge enough on this show. I think it's because we're not a normie podcast. When you tune in, like, we're really trying to give you like we're diving deep into like the nooks and crannies of the Yankees. We're going to be talking about John Birdie and having a 20-minute segment here and there about John Birdie. Not in this one, but you know, that's something that we do. And I just don't want it to go unnoticed. Like Aaron Judge, first off, the home run he hit the night we were there last night. I mean, that three-run shot gave them life. You know, they came back and it's 9-7. And yeah, like things don't go your way, and I get that. But if you had Austin Wells in August, they might have won that game. So, you know, that's kind of like what you're looking at. And you just got to give Aaron Judge a lot of credit because this is somebody who had that 15-16 game homerless streak. And now he's back to being Aaron Judge again, just like that. And it really goes to show you, Gary, if he didn't have that 16 straight game homerless streak and he didn't have the start he had this year, he easily could have hit 74 home runs and like actually been the leader for single season home runs. I mean, he was on a ridiculous pace and he just had those two mishaps. But it is a reminder how hard it is to hit home runs in this league. And now he's hitting, I think, 5 in a row. He's got 3 games left. He has 58 home runs. If he hits 60, Gary, so that's 2 more in 3 games, which is doable. Not easy. I never want to normalize home runs because it's not normal to hit 60 plus. It's just not
normal for him. It's
crazy
for Aaron Judge. It's just expectation is when he's going right, he's going to hit a home run every night. That's just the way it seems. And I know we have 2 different opinions on this, and I was actually glad that we're not really seeing a home run chase from Aaron Judge where we're saying, okay, can he hit a home run here? Can he hit a home run now? And I feel like in general, it puts him in bad habits. And baseball players in general, regardless of how good you are, we've seen it with Juan Soto, right? We've seen it with whoever, who was it? We had at first base again. I honestly just blanked out on his name because he hasn't been here in such a long time.
Giambi, Teixeira.
No. The rookie we had this year.
Oh, Ben Rice.
Ben Rice. There you go.
Oh yeah, that guy.
So Ben Rice. Remember him? Yeah, but he hit 3 home runs in a day, and everyone said, "Oh, look at this." the how it projects into the future, this is fantastic. This is great news for the Yankees. And Jake, you actually brought it up on the very next episode after the three home run day. Okay, is he going to get into a bad habit? Is he going to be trying to hit home runs? Is he going to try to become a home run hitter rather than just a hitter? So Aaron Judge, if you look at his overall numbers, he's not just a home run hitter. He's hitting 325. This is a complete baseball player. And the last thing I wanted to do was go into the last 3 or 4 days of the season and watch Aaron Judge try to hit homers. And then suddenly we go into October ball, we watch the wild card series, and then we watch us bring Aaron Judge in and say, all right, now try to hit balls in the gap. Now try to be a complete baseball player again. When in reality, you just for 2 weeks were trying to lift the ball like we're at a derby. So I was happy to see him kind of fall out of the race and then have to right the ship and become a complete player again. And that's what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, it does feel that way, right? When Aaron Judge is sensing he's getting closer to an accolade, like a big time accolade, we saw it 2022, to your point. He started clearly swinging for the fences every at bat. It was obvious. And I thought it was really telling because it's not even I don't even think it's a selfish thing. He kept going up there and like post game, he'd be like, yeah, you know, I went 0-for-4, whatever. And he'd be like, I'm really just trying to get this record for, you know, the people at this point, for the fans. I mean, they keep, you know, they're going to the games and it's, you know, he said at one point, I feel like I'm letting them down. So
it's understandable, right?
I mean, to him.
If everyone's in the stands saying, oh, let's see if he can get 2 tonight, it really sets him on pace for this. You think the player's not thinking of that? Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He knows what you guys are paying for. He knows why everyone's wearing 99 that night. They want to see Aaron Judge break a record. So if the record's out of reach, well, then why worry about it? Why show up to the park and say, let me try and do this? No, he's going to try and hit the ball hard. And being Aaron Judge and being 6'7", or whatever he is, right, 6'7", 280 pounds, you're going to get quality results. You're going to hit home runs by not even trying. And we saw that the last 2 days. So what I'm expecting now is the version of Aaron Judge we see from now until the end of the regular season. That's my expectation of who we see in October. And frankly, if Aaron Judge doesn't play well in October, we don't stand a chance anyway. So yeah, the quality habits will go a long way. And he's not the only player. I know Austin Wells is another player that we've penciled as really a player who's struggled the last few weeks now. And so that's a cause for concern. But these last
the whole month,
week or so of baseball, right, that's going to be a nice telltale sign of who exactly are we going to see? Because if we see what we saw in September out of Austin Wells in October, well, that is an issue.
Yeah, and Trevino will be in the lineup. They'll bench him. They'll flat out bench him because I'll tell you right now, he started the month at 254. Guess where his batting average is now?
See, like 235?
231. He's hitting 123 in the month of September. 123.
It is not good, right?
He hit 325 in August.
Right. I mean, that's a complete player. We talked about during that 325 stint, how good is this player offensively? Because defensively, we know what he does, right? The framing, the throwing, all that is really good. But the bat, what are you going to give us with the bat? The Yankees over the years, I know everyone's talked about how are we going to get outs on the mound? What are we going to do to close games? But as far as I'm concerned, Jake, we've talked about this. This Yankees team struggled to score in important baseball games. Well, you know what would really help that? If your catcher's got it going, right? If Aaron Judge has it going when it matters, not in May or July, but in late September and early October, that's what's really going to matter here. So that, I mean, this is why like we dive deep into, and we haven't, you mentioned, we don't talk about Aaron Judge as much. And that's true because a lot of the reason why teams win in October or not is a lot of the complimentary players, a lot of the role players.
Yeah.
Does Gleyber Torres show up and give effort? Does Jazz Chisholm make an impact or is he a problem defensively? Is Jason Dominguez in left field? He looked like Benjamin Franklin flying a kite in left field when we were there. In left field. It was bad. Okay. He was not close to catching a fly ball. I know we were kind of shuffling into the stadium at that point, but it was bad. We saw the replay. It didn't look like I could remotely trust him in an important game out there in left field. So we have to ask these questions. Is this going to be a problem or is it not? So today was just a home run day. We dominated. Gerrit Cole was special. Interestingly enough, the Baltimore Orioles pulled Corbin Burns from the game at 69 pitches, which leads you to believe they're preparing for his start on this upcoming Tuesday. And that was almost like saying, we want to make a run at the division, but we don't necessarily. It's Jover, right?
It's Jover, yes, Jover.
That bad boy's Jover. So we respect the decision. It's probably smart. And they live to fight another day.
They live to fight another day indeed. So the Yankees have clinched the AL East. The Astros clinched the West. Because of that, the Mariners are eliminated from playoff contention. And that means, who would have thunk, Central. You got four teams battling. The Guardians clinch, so you have got three teams battling. The Twins continue to lose ground. They're 3-7. They're sinking like a ship. It looks like Detroit and the Royals are going to get in. The Royals got a little scare at one point. Still, right now, they have to fend off Detroit. They're tied right now, but they have the tiebreaker due to their head-to-head win percentage. Detroit is by far, they're scorching hot, the hottest team in the league. They've won 9 of their last 10. Very, very hot team right now. And the Orioles are going to have to play potentially one of them. So right now, as it stands, when we look at the MLB playoff bracket, as it stands right now, the Orioles would play Kansas City, and the winner would play face the Yankees in the ALCS, or excuse me, ALDS. Okay. So really, it's a battle. Detroit's hot. I might go with Detroit here to get the fifth seed. And the reason I say that is because they're the hottest team in baseball right now. And I think Detroit knows they'd be playing the Orioles. And I think they're like, they smell blood in the water. The Orioles are not a good fit. They're not a good matchup themselves against the Tigers. And the Tigers know that. So I think my prediction here, I think Kansas City, Twins are not. I know they're not eliminated mathematically, but stick a fork in them. They're done.
I don't know many teams that won in October just by throwing out a roster and then they limped into late September and then just threw it together. I don't usually see that. Most often, I see a team that maybe it probably fell a little short during the regular season, right?
Yeah.
A very similar team is the Houston Astros this year. The Astros were not very good first half of the season. I know towards the end of the first half, they started to put it together, and then they carried that momentum all the way to today. Well, how many teams is it where you said, well, their roster doesn't blow me away. They're a pretty decent team. And then they go on two separate 7-game losing streaks that we're talking about the Kansas City Royals now. And that team suddenly throws together an October run. We've mentioned that there are a lot of teams in the American League specifically that you need to put some respect on their name. You need to respect this team coming into a series. But I'll tell you this, there's a difference between respecting a team and having moderate fear of what could happen. You should be fearful. In this sport reminds me a lot of hockey. The hottest team wins. That's the way the sport goes. So you can build your roster. We're going to cover the winter meetings this year, what you do in free agency. You want to throw together the best roster possible because it helps influence how hot your team's going to be at the end of the year. But sometimes you just can't run from a team when they have it going. It's just the way it goes. Like in 04, I never thought the 04 Red Sox were a better team than the Yankees, but it just felt like starting in game 5 or 6, man, I just think this team might have something. We don't know what that something is, but they either believe or they're just the hot team in baseball. That's just what it seems like we ran into. And I remember talking to my dad during that series and him saying, I think we're in trouble. And I was 10 or 11 years old. I think we're in trouble here. And meanwhile, he knows the type of roster he's got. So how does that apply till today? Well, the Yankees, if you run into Kansas City, if you run into Baltimore may feel like if we run into a Kansas City team and we actually power through that series, it changes the way they feel about themselves and it changes the complexion of your division series against Baltimore and vice versa. Detroit doesn't think they don't think they're losing to anyone. I'm just here to tell you right now. They got
they Javi won Baez. 15 of the last 20.
They got Javi Baez right off the field, rightfully so. He was just not good for them at all at any point. And they just feel like, let's just get a solid baseball player at the position and let's go pitch, right? So if they, if you give up a couple runs to Detroit, you're in trouble. And that's the way the Yankees are going to take the series. Gerrit Cole knows if I go into a series, you know, game one against Detroit or against teams like Kansas City, who can spin it as well. Well, there's pressure. You give up one or two runs in the first two or three innings of a game, you know that might have been enough of a mistake to lose you the game. So that's the reason why you see Detroit kind of strangleholding a lot of these teams in baseball, and they're just outrunning them, outrunning and outgunning. So you'd like to believe that the Yankees can kind of fall into some quality matchups and that could really help facilitate a World Series run. But I'm here to tell you right now, I'm going to echo what you said a couple episodes ago. I'm not worried about who we play. If the Yankees don't play a World Series caliber brand of baseball, what does it really matter who we play? You got
to perform. No, they lose to anybody. Except for the Twins. Anybody,
except for the Twins. That is right.
You know what's so funny? It very typical Twin fashion, because nothing is going well for the Twins right now. They have to play Baltimore the next three games. Now, understand this. Baltimore has to play these games because they're trying to lock up the one spot in the wild card.
Right.
Okay. So, right, that gives them home field in the wild card. They're trying to lock up one spot. So they would be playing all of their starters for that, probably the whole series, I would imagine, to get them ready. Maybe the last game they... But the Twins are screwed, because guess what? The Tigers, because they took care of business 15 of the last 20 games, their last three games are against Chicago and not the Cubs.
Yeah, but also they don't let us extend our rosters the way that they used to. They don't let us go to 40-man rosters and just have a bunch of jabronis and a bunch of young players that potentially could help jabronis on the roster. They don't do that anymore.
Oh, and Kansas City's in trouble, by the way. Do you know who they're playing? One of the only teams left that actually needs wins to try to make the playoffs, the Braves.
Not who you want to run it. That's not who you want to play.
Rather. No, there's only here are the teams that haven't clinched yet. Royals, Tigers, Twins in the AL. That's it. It's just those three trying to decide between two spots. And the Twins are so far out of it, it's ridiculous. Mathematically, but like, they have a 3.1% chance of making the playoffs.
It's interesting that people look at playing winning baseball just to get into the postseason and how that can help you in October. And I think that's totally valid. But what's so interesting about it is that the Yankees should view today all the way to the end of the season like it's playoff mode. And I know they won't.
I agree.
Because no one ever does. But
they better not be hung over tomorrow. I can tell you that.
No, but I'm just telling you, like, if you don't play championship baseball from today to the end of the regular season, and again, I understand why you wouldn't, because you know we did technically what our job was to do. But the problem is that if you treat today to the end of the regular season like it's exhibition, you will play exhibition baseball probably absolutely for the first two games of the division series. And if you go down, I promise you this right now, if Gerrit Cole's not sharp in game one of the DS, which he has to be, and we lose to Baltimore or Kansas City, just know we're in for a long series, and we very well could go home.
Or a short series.
Or a short series. That's a problem. There is, by the way, there's not going to be a Nestor Cortez in the division series. So if you lose game one and game two, you're essentially tossing the ball in Carlos Rodon's glove and saying, hey, we're down 2-0, and you need to go on the road and win us a game, or we're going home.
Or well, Stroman.
That's not what it – Stroman will not be.
You're like, I'm going to fight Stroman. You. My God.
No, there should be a restraining order on the mound right now with Marcus Stroman's name on it. That's just – and Marcus Stroman, to be perfectly clear, I was proud of the job he did this year. There's a difference between what you can do for a team during the regular season, the marathon of the regular season, and when the games get important. He's not pitching an important game for the Yankees. And I know that if he heard this, and I'm sure he will because he heard the last thing I said about him and complained – but I will tell you this. Yes, yeah. He messaged my dad, and then my dad messaged me. So this is a true story. So
wait, like this year?
Yes.
What'd you say?
I told my dad that he can call or text my phone if he has any complaints, anything that I've said about him. And
And no, otherwise, what did he have an issue with what you said? What did you say?
Oh, so I put his name and Trevor Bauer's name in the same conversation because I think Trevor Bauer deserves to be playing baseball. And frankly, if you get in trouble for something and you're convicted through the court of law, you get in trouble, then yeah, you can absolutely justify either a lengthy suspension or not playing again, right? Depending on what that issue is. But once you're cleared and no wrongdoing's been found, then you need to return to your job. You know, very similar to the way I would if I got in trouble and then suddenly they found that I wasn't in trouble. Well, then I should be able to work again. That's just how that goes. Well, anyways, I put Trevor Bauer in a positive light and also Marcus Stroman because I wanted Marcus Stroman to be a part of this roster. And I mentioned Marcus Stroman's been seen as a clubhouse cancer. He's been seen as a distraction. And I said, the Yankees have a strong enough clubhouse. I believe we have a strong enough captain in Aaron Judge to right the ship if there's any issue with Stroman, which, by the way, there was. We had an issue with Gleyber Torres and Marcus Stroman where he's saying, throw the effing ball. And guess what? Our leader comes up, said, we don't do that here. He came out, said some very positive things about Gleyber Torres, and we moved on. Marcus Stroman hasn't been a problem in New York, and I didn't expect him to. So that's part of the reason why I was mentioning that he should be on this Yankees team. I mentioned Trevor Bauer could potentially have a role on this team, and he didn't like that. He said, oh, what do I have to do with a sexual abuser? I said, well, I don't know who the sexual abuser is on this conversation, but you know, he got upset, and I told him I don't care.
We do not care.
No, I don't. I do not care.
Well, you know, what I would say is this. I think what Rashee Rice did is insane, and he's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs right now, starting for them at wide receiver. And I understand it's a different sport, but there are guys that were suspended to start the season, and they haven't told us what they did wrong. But we know this guy, I think he drove 130 miles an hour and just injured a bunch of people that some of them have injuries, like things that will ruin them for the rest of their life. And he's playing football right now, waiting for, the law. So I'm not saying that I understand how that whole thing goes, the law process getting dragged out. I get that. But it's like Bauer never got that. He was just like, nope, you're gone. Bye-bye.
No, I'll speak for myself. I believe in second chances. Mm-hmm. And that was essentially what the entire tweet was about. He didn't like that. And I basically let him know in the most professional way possible, I don't care what you like or don't like. I don't wait to hear what other people think to tweet. I just tweet what I think, and I encourage other people to tweet their own opinions, and I think that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, we were just talking off air how he's better than most pitchers that we're going to see in the postseason. But, I have nothing against Stroman. I just, to be honest with you, though, and I guess we can dive into this a little bit, Gary, because with the whole thing with Stroman is that he's got a vesting option, which I don't think many people know. Because like you and I thought he had a player option, which we've probably said on the show before. So let's do a retraction of all Stroman related. That's what I mean.
I thought he was essentially saying, if I pitch well enough, I'm going to pitch well enough and you're going to want me back next year. That's what I thought the Yankees agreed to. And then you educated me before the show that that wasn't the case, to which I say, I wish you never told me.
Yeah, I know. I kind of wish I didn't know either. So unfortunately, folks, and I really don't mean to be negative, but you have to understand how this might not end up. Okay. Stroman was signed at age 33 this year to be a kind of, you're kind of going all in for a World Series. This is a player that can help you. And then you have to give him a 2-year deal because he's not going to sign just a 1-year deal. He had other offers. So then you have 2025 and okay. But we were under the, assumption that it was a, and I think Gary, to be fair, I think it was reported as a club option. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was falsely reported as a club option. So
okay. It
was, I remember it actually. It was initially reported as a club option in 2025. Well, that's not the case. So folks, Marcus Stroman essentially signed a 3-year deal with the Yankees because guess what? His vesting option in 2026, not only do the Yankees not have a club option in 2025, meaning he is a Yankee unless they trade him away, 2026, he has a vesting option. What that means is that in 2026, he gets a player option. He's not opting out at age 35 and making $18.3 million. Yeah, good luck with that. 2026 player option kicks in with 140 innings pitched in 2024. He pitched over 150, so he gets the vesting option, which he will, of course, turns into a player option, and he will, of course, opt into that. So Marcus Stroman, unless they trade him away, will be a Yankee until 2027.
Okay, yeah, like you said, we're not going to dive too much into the negative details of like contractual obligations, just because this is a we're celebrating. Okay, we won the division
to a degree.
We're celebrating to a degree, not to the highest level, because we still haven't won anything yet.
Yeah, right?
That's the key message with our podcast. But as far as that goes, yeah, a 33-year-old, especially today, isn't necessarily an old pitcher. But what I will say about Marcus Stroman is, if you watch him on the mound, his stuff clearly has regressed. Okay, he's throwing 90 miles an hour. He's, when the broadcast every single day says, well, with this type of stuff, he's working to the corners. Okay, and if he's, like, we've seen him earlier this year, he walked five guys in a game, three games in a row. So he's not exactly a pitcher with Cliff Lee, like, right? Like, this isn't a Ryu type control guy. Okay, this is not that. He can be really good. Very serviceable, which is what his job was to be, highly serviceable, not excellent, serviceable. And then you'll see games like what we saw, unfortunately, Nestor Cortez going down with the elbow strain, going to be out to the championship series. Well, Marcus Stroman was thrown onto the mound. And a start can look like that when you throw 90. You can give up 13 hits in 3 1/3 innings of work, which is exactly what it was. I could never forget it. It was not good. But I will say this, in totality of what Marcus Stroman did for this team this year, it was what we needed. We had to have 150 plus innings. Nestor Cortez gave us way more innings than we ever anticipated based on what he does for his career. So Marcus Stroman was a good signing for this Yankees team. Maybe you could argue they could have gone out and gotten Snell the way he's performed this year. I think there's absolutely an argument for that. But Marcus Stroman was very good for us this year. It's just a matter of, what do we plan on seeing next year? What do we plan on seeing in 2026? I don't know if I want to see that, but again, trades can be made. It's not impossible to trade a player who has a contract for a decent chunk of change that can still be serviceable for a lot of teams in baseball. So I'm not freaking out about this deal as much as I should, but it isn't something I thought was on the table until you told me.
Yeah, and I got to give you a lot of credit, because it went down exactly how you said. I mean, you were concerned he hasn't pitched X amount of innings in his career, and now he's over that, and all of a sudden the velocity is going down. His confidence is shot. I would have mistaken him for Mark Leiter Jr. if he weren't looking at the mound yesterday. I mean, he was getting crunched, absolutely crunched.
Do you like how we saw people jogging in from the – okay, so for people who don't know, you weren't sitting with us, but we wish you were. Every single time somebody came in from the bullpen during our game where we lost 9-7, we were like, oh God, this must be Leiter Jr.
Because
you can't tell who it is. It's just some dude. And he's running out, and it was never Mark Leiter Jr., which is so funny. So
I think last night was, in a way, kind of torture. It was the football gods. Well, maybe they were involved too, but baseball gods were humbling us, because we had this idea. We started the podcast and they went like 9-0. It was probably like 6-0, but still, the point is, we started the podcast and we started talking about it. We're like, oh my God, they haven't lost since we started this podcast. And like, oh my God, what if we, the only game we go to the entire year is the one where they clinch the AL East? And the baseball gods were like, nope. And you know what? They didn't stop there. They said, how about this? You know how much you love your Clayton Beter? Yeah, we're going to curse him too. And
you were super excited about Clayton Beter, and
I thought they should have started him.
Yeah, if Nestor Cortez is hurt, right, maybe you should go with your best option. And Clayton Beter did find his way to the mound. He was shelled, man.
He started off good, and he was one pitch away. Like, he was one strike away from getting out of the inning with three strikeouts and no runs given up. And then it just all unraveled. He had some good moments when we were at the game, but I actually wanted to turn my attention to Giancarlo Stanton, by the way, because I don't think people are aware of just how dangerous he's been the last 14 days, because he started slumping a little bit And people were like, oh boy, right before the postseason too, this isn't good. You can
see that batting average kind of creeping down as well. Like, just for those of you who look at batting average, his batting average was just like, was going down like the Titanic. But yeah, take it away.
Yeah, well, he's got 27 home runs now. And furthermore, his batting average with balls in play his last 14 days. Gary, can you guess?
I'm going to guess his batting average with balls in play is 414.
444.
I was so close. Wow. Well, I mean, that's not surprising if you really think about it.
14 days, though. That's 9 games.
No, I know.
10 games.
If Giancarlo Stanton puts the ball in play, it's 150 off the bat. He's one of the only players. I'll tell you this. My dad is known for a player who hit the ball hard.
Yes, okay? He is. I can vouch for that just seeing him in person.
If you guys saw what my Instagram DMs look like anytime Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run, it's just, man, this reminds me of a home run your dad would have hit. This reminds me of contact. I literally got 6 DMs tonight about a ball that he hit in right center field. And you're like, man, that was Sheffield-esque. I was like, you've never seen my dad hit a ball in the right center your whole life. And my dad never went the other way. He'll tell you that. So, but yeah, the point. Giancarlo Stanton, we need someone who's hot at designated hitter. I'm here to tell you right now, the last thing we need is Giancarlo Stanton trying to figure out who he is in October baseball. And then we're just plugging and playing him while he's struggling. Because then there's going to be question marks and we're going to have to talk about it on our show of, do we put Dominguez at DH because he clearly can hit, but we don't want to see him in left field? That conversation will get started. And then also, if you've got Dominguez out DHing now instead of Stanton because he's not hitting, well, now you're looking in left field and saying, oh, it's Alex Verdugo. Look at that, right? So all types
look at
of
that.
Problems, all types of problems start to materialize if Giancarlo doesn't hit. So him hitting right now is huge. He's clearly a confidence-driven player. If he's hitting well, if he hit well yesterday and he's in the lineup today, the chances of him playing well are exponentially higher than if he didn't play well yesterday. We don't know why he's like that, but I guess the kids like to call that being streaky, right?
So yeah.
We'll take him being streaky in October.
Oh, we will definitely take that. We will 100% take that. I think to wrap up the show, because I want to get to the shout-outs, and then I also want to check real quick, because I didn't see if we had a mailbag. I don't think we did, but I could be wrong. I know, right? Me wrong? What? Let's okay, we did R2. Yes, we had... Oh, okay. We had 2. So
let's read those suckers.
Okay. Before we get to that, I did want to mention something. I feel like obviously no one wants to make excuses, right? But I actually went back, it kind of a project of mine in my head. I went back and I watched their 2022 playoff games. And you know what I noticed? They really were banged up in that. Because they were going in thinking Matt Carpenter was going to be the guy. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He had like Babe Ruth splits or whatever, and then he got hurt. They were expecting a ton out of Matt Carpenter. Didn't work. And I feel like guys just got kind of flat around that time. More importantly, though, and I think this is really like what it comes down to. I don't have to tell you this. Because by the way, like I thought Gerrit Cole was fantastic. His ERA was below 3. I'm looking at my notes here. He had 23 strikeouts in 18 innings. Nestor struggled. Severino struggled. Loaiza was really good in relief. But those are the only three that we saw really start because they started 2 games with Gerrit Cole. Or sorry, 3 games with Gerrit Cole, 3 with Nestor, 2 with Severino, and then Tyone. He came out of the bullpen for one of them and then he started one and he got shelled, right? Give 7 hits, 3 runs, all that. But the hitting though, looking at like my notes here, bro, do you remember? It was literally just a Harrison Bader show. Like,
which cannot happen.
No, he's not even on the team. Stan was horrible.
Harrison Bader can't be your top performer. If that happens, just know you're going home. Harrison Bader can be a contributor with a good team, right? When he's going well, but that's a complimentary player. Don't tell me that, that Judge didn't play well, Stan didn't play well, and you've got two or three other key contributors all regular season, and they do nothing for you, and you're leaning on Bader to get you through, you're just not going to win. And so this is the reason why we put such an emphasis on guys like Austin Wells, who we have in the four spot in our lineup. If he's not playing well, you're putting so much pressure on Judge and Soto because they'll just walk those two guys. I know we're watching them hit home runs now, and that's great. But in October, they're going to force Austin Wells to get the big hit or not. If the Yankees want to go to the next round, Wells has to be doing something. Stanton has to be doing something. Gleyber Torres has to be getting on base at the pace that he's doing now. So all these guys are important.
Gleyber, IKF, Donaldson all had errors. Harrison Bader had two in center field. But no one batted an eye because he had five home runs. By the way, and this is actually what this is a reminder of how quickly things can change, right? This is the postseason in a nutshell. Harrison Bader had five home runs. He hit 333, a 429 on base percentage. He had an 833 slugging percentage. He had a 1200 OPS. That's better than Judge right now in nine games, right? He's great. Think about if Judge doesn't hit 139, instead hits 270, right? And Stanton doesn't hit 188 and he hits 240. And Cabrera doesn't hit 071 and he hits 200, right? Like those guys, and then some of the other, I mean, IKF hit 278, like he was good. Gleyber, 176, if he hits 260.
No one played well.
That's the thing. The real thing that irks me, Gary, is that when I went back and I watched it, and it, first off, going back and watching something you know the result of and it's not good is not fun. But I felt like I had to do the research and just sort of like almost kind of like remind myself how it went down. Bader could have been a huge asset. We could be talking about how Harrison Bader helped the Yankees win the World Series. If those guys stepped up, because that's the thing, when you look at the pitching, it wasn't great, right? But their pitching at the end of the day, their team threw 3.28 ERA and a 1.23 whip. You can win like that. I'm not saying it's ideal, but then you have Gary, their OPS, their team OPS was 579. Their team on base percentage was 255. Their team slugging percentage was 324. Okay. And their team batting average was 173. That's why. So Matt Carpenter, they were hoping for him. He had 12 at bats. He had one hit. Big thing. Don't forget what's his face they traded for. Benintendi. He was ruled out. So
yeah. So you said the big takeaway was health, right?
Yeah. But also their stars didn't do anything when they needed them to.
Yeah. So this is the way I look at health. I understand that people look at players being healthy, right? Your team overall health. And they say, well, a lot of this is a huge aspect of luck. But I view being healthy at the end of the regular season, and you have to build a team that can stay healthy. Like that's another part of the job. And I view being healthy like sleeping well, you know, and I'll tell you this.
So not me.
If you showed up to school and told your teacher or professor, hey, I just got 3 hours of sleep. I just don't think I can take the test. I know you told us we could take this test 3 months ago, and it was today and I had to prepare for today, but I'm not ready, right? My body's not ready. Based on how I slept last night, your teacher would tell you, tough luck. You're taking the test just like everybody else. We're not changing anything for you. It's your responsibility to take care of that. And that's the way I view health. Now, if you get drilled in the hand by a fastball and you're gone, yes, there's an absolutely a huge aspect of luck there. But a lot of times when we see Yankees go down over the years, it was bodybuilder type injuries. Oh, he pulled a hamstring, right? He had a lat strain. We saw Jason Dominguez earlier this year. He went down, I believe, with a lat strain. So a lot of these things are avoidable. You need to stay healthy. It's part of this job is preparing your body for the overall season. And then what happens after that? So I don't know. I completely agree with you. Being healthy, injuries in general played a huge role in that series. But also, as you mentioned, if Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, a lot of the guys we pay a lot of money to, if Rodon this year, Garrett Cole, if they don't perform the way that they're paid to perform, you're not going anywhere. And this is something that's understood, not just with the Yankees. It's understood with every organization in baseball. Highly paid players, if you don't play well in October, chances are you're putting pressure on players who are either young, inexperienced, or just flat out not good enough to make an impact in October, and you're just going to shuffle on to Cancun. That's just how this this is how this sport goes. So, yes, there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Judge. There's a lot of pressure on Juan Soto. But when enough guys are making impacts, eventually guys get settled in the series and they don't think, man, if I don't perform, we go nowhere. That's what we're waiting to see. We're waiting to see a bunch of guys finally get comfortable in a series. And you can see the six hitter for the Yankees come up to the plate and you don't think, man, he's hitting 070. Is he going to do anything to help Aaron Judge? Is he going to do anything to make an impact? We need it. The Yankees have to hit if they want to go anywhere in October. And based on what we saw today, this was a very important game for this Yankees team. What they do against Burns, what they do against really guys that they should be hitting who came in after Burns, and they took care of business. They threw up a 10 spot in this game. And if you told me they did that before the game, I'd be impressed.
I agree. Last thing I'll say about the 2022 team, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was third in OPS with 683 on the team, which is never, you know, good because he doesn't slug. So he was good in that series. But yeah, I mean, Trevino 1-for-22 ain't going to do it. Oswaldo Cabrera 2-for-28 is not going to do it. Glaber 4-for-34 is not going to do it. Donaldson, he was not very good either. One thing I will say to wrap this up, Anthony Rizzo, he had a 984 OPS. So he actually performed well in the postseason. Before we send it over to the mailbags, I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
Let's hear it.
I think what you said, there's a lot of truth to earlier in the show about Aaron Judge. I think Aaron Judge has an A-Rod-esque postseason. I really believe that. And the reason I say that is, one, it was bound to eventually go his way, right? He's too good of a hitter. He can't just be bad in the postseason. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. I mean, the high leverage that we've seen this year, like, his high leverage stats are better than Ohtani's, like, way better than Ohtani's, right? So something has to give, because his high leverage stats in the past during the regular season have not been great. So I wonder if he's changed his approach there. But the reason I'm going back to what you said and what I'm going back to is you said something along the lines of, yeah, I'm glad he's not chasing a record, because he's basically like, you know, what you're saying and is kind of how I'm feeling. He's not taking himself out of a routine. And you were really smart to bring up my point on Ben Rice, because that without a doubt killed it. If he didn't hit three home runs in a game, he would have continued to do what he does, and he'd probably be on this postseason roster. And Anthony Rizzo might have been IL'd at, like, for the rest of the year. Like, they might have just given him like a phantom IL designation.
He looked like a different player after that moment. Now, I can't necessarily say, okay, that's the pinpoint moment, and just kind of scapegoat that as the reason he just couldn't get off the mat. Essentially,
but I think that helped or hurt.
It definitely hurt him. There's no question about that. So let me say this about Aaron Judge. A lot of people are going to be saying, okay, what's Big 99 going to do? But I'll tell you guys this. The way Austin Wells is playing right now, right, and Giancarlo's been streaky, but all the other teams in baseball know Giancarlo Stanton's streaky. They know what Austin Wells is doing in September. They're aware of this. Now, what's going to happen, and this is my prediction, if table setters, this is why we call them table setters. They set the table. Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto. We've seen Juan Soto disappear for a couple weeks, okay? And then he's kind of started to get back into Juan Soto type
stuff.
At the right time. But I'll tell you this. If Juan Soto isn't finding himself on base, right? If we get the version of Juan Soto we got maybe 2 weeks ago, and then Gleyber Torres isn't playing the way that we've seen him play this last month offensively, not defensively, offensively. Well, you're essentially just asking Aaron Judge to go up to the plate with two outs, nobody on, and another team who's essentially saying, we're just going to pitch around this guy. We're going to nibble. You're not going to get a ton of pitches to hit. It's not going to be like the regular season where people are tweeting saying, why are they still pitching this guy? They groove a fastball down the middle. No, in postseason baseball, they're going to force your weakness to become that day's strength. That's the way that baseball in October works. And the teams with the least amount of weakness combined with the hottest players that day, they win. And that's how the postseason goes. Teams aren't going to go see Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto struggle in a series and then allow Aaron Judge to hit solo homers and beat them. That's not going to happen. They're going to throw him on first base, and they're going to make Austin Wells, who's played really well overall this year, beat them. That's how the postseason is going to go. So if you're just waiting around for Aaron Judge to throw a cape on, well, you consider yourself disappointed early if Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto aren't doing their jobs. Those guys have to do their jobs first. And then if you see a bunch of traffic all over the bases and then Aaron Judge is not coming through in big spots, then absolutely it's our job to criticize that or at least bring up the numbers. So we will do that. But I'll tell you this, you mentioned, I completely agree with you. I think this is the postseason where the overall unit of what this team has offensively is enough to protect Aaron Judge, put him in better position to succeed. I haven't necessarily thought that Aaron Judge was in great position to bring this team over the hump. I've always felt like, I just seem like we're waiting. He gets out in the first inning. We're waiting to the third to maybe try and score again. That can't happen.
No, I agree with that. I thought you were going to continue, so I was going to have a sip of water, but
no, you killed me there. Bad.
No, yeah, you're fine. No,
I apologize.
Yeah, no, you are fine there. I have this feeling. I've been watching him. He feels like a more evolved hitter this year than even he did in 2022. I felt like 2022, he got a little gimmicky in September, if I'm being honest. And I feel like he's just going out there and he's hitting home runs because he's the best player in the world. That's what I feel like right now. I don't feel like it's gimmicky. I don't feel like he's swinging for the fences every time. I think you see it. I mean, his 112 mile an hour grounders. Yeah, no, he's not hitting the square button every time.
but I make myself laugh with my own jokes.
I know. It's funny. And not everybody gets that because some people have Xbox and they're like, what the hell are you talking about? All right. That, I just wanted to talk about that. But yeah, I think that's my bold prediction. Aaron Judge is going to have like an Alex Rodriguez-esque postseason.
I hope and so.
I don't want to say it, but I kind of feel like this team is going to the World Series. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I do feel like this team is going to the World Series. I have this feeling. And in the past, it's been more like hope. Like truthfully, this is how I know that like what I believe is what I believe. Because before, when I was watching the Yankees in 2019 and so forth, I would just be like, yeah, it feels like I'm hoping more than I believe, right? Because when I really thought about it, I'm like, I always felt like the Astros, like, can we please get by the Astros? Not like, oh yeah, we're going to beat the Astros. Or like, we might beat the Astros. I was just like, I just hope a miracle happens. That's truly how I felt. This team just, I could see the Guardians being a problem. The Astros have the pedigree, true. The Orioles, I don't really want to face the Orioles, truthfully, but I also really don't care at the same time. Kansas City, Detroit, I mean, any of those teams. And I'm not really worried about the NL because if the Yankees get to the World Series, I'll be happy, truthfully. I want to win it, but you have to. That's been the thing. I think you and I have kind of switched gears over. They have to get to the World Series. They have to. Like, to me, that is what they have to do. You can't just continue to be the team that falls short in the ALCS. You have to at least get to the World Series. Then you're in the dance. Who knows what happens? I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find better pitching than what the Yankees have in the World Series. There's not many other teams that are going to be able to match the Yankees pound for pound. So that's how I feel. With that said, though, I do think, you know, Judge is going to have that. I think Gleyber, who didn't have a good last postseason, he's been regarded as a good postseason hitter in the past. I think he's going to have a highly regarded. Exactly. He's going to be a good, leadoff hitter. I think he'll continue to do his thing. My thing though, and I know we're kind of dragging this out, I do want to get to mailbag, but you brought up Wells, and I do wonder if Boone eventually at some point takes him out of the cleanup spot, because if he, and I hate saying this, you know, I love Wells, but if he struggles the way he is in September, he's not even going to be on the team. Like he's going to be on the bench. Like he won't be out there. You know what I mean? If he struggles enough in September, whether I agree with it or not, or excuse me, October, whether I agree with it or not, Trevino will be out there. And he's not a better defensive catcher, but I'm sure Aaron Boone would argue he's up there. And if it's that close, that would become a timeshare again with the advantage to Trevino, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going to assume Austin Wells is not going to move from the four spot just because it hasn't happened yet. He's been dismal for the past 2 or 3 weeks. But I will say this, my prediction, or just, I guess, a hot take, it's not a hot take, mm-hmm. is that he'll just revert to a rubber band right back to the version we saw. And that's a good
thing. Oh, I think
so
too.
This is the reason why I said that you need to treat today till the end of the regular season as if it matters, mm-hmm. because there it does matter. It actually does matter. It's not just the standings. It's are you individually, you, Austin Wells, are you Giancarlo Stanton, are you Aaron Judge, do you have good habits going into game one? Are you still tweaking mechanics, right? We're still talking about mechanics with Anthony Volpe. Or is he getting hot and then we say, hopefully he continues what he's already doing. You don't want to try and fix things in the playoffs. We
no,
don't
it's
want
too
players
late.
To say, well, I'm already struggling. Let me see if I can get back on the horse. We don't want to see that because, again, it opens up questions. Do we move you in the lineup? We don't want any question marks of what's happening in the lineup. There's a reason that we brought Alex Rodriguez on the show and they were like, what was the biggest thing about the 09 team? Well, it was the fact that we knew exactly where everyone was playing, when, and why. Well, we're not trying to come up with new lineups in October. So I don't think the lineup will change. I know you brought it up. You're not thinking that it'll happen, but I will say he needs to perform. So there's no cop-out. We don't have some other option to throw into the four spot that's going to be better than what Austin Wells gave us a month ago. So he just needs to start playing better. I expect him to.
Love it. Okay, so shout out to our field levels. Juan Cepeda, Kid from LI, Carlos Marrero, Jeff J, Ed W, Brian Fuchs, Ryan Hoffman, Rich Squires, Joshua Halleckman, Egyptian Magician, Nick Gomes, Jalen Sestero, JT Roberts, Mickey G, and Ronnie. We're adding two more to that list, Gary. Tony Jones, who we missed 4 days ago. So we missed Tony Jones. Tony Jones, you're being added to the list as we speak, so I don't ever forget you. And I hope you...
And one was Jazzy Girl, right? I believe I saw that right.
Jersey Girl, second deck, and then Insight. So Jersey Girl's a new member, second deck, joined 2 days ago. And Insight is a field level member, joined 2 days ago as well. So we didn't miss you guys. What I think happened is we got demonetized and... It's been all weird. I don't know if you've noticed. I went in and like the member list was all kind of jumbled up because it shows a lot of people rejoined because they got canceled. So appreciate everyone rejoining, by the way. Really means a lot there. Appreciate Jersey Girl, Insight, and Tony Jones for signing up to become members. If you yourself would want to become a member, like what the hell does that mean? Become a member. There we go. English is fun. Then you can go and you can hit the link in the description or comment section below, or hit the join button. Also, we have a Discord. So if you want to talk Yankee baseball all day, that Discord has been lighting up. I do look at it. It says I have 253 new messages on Discord. So I'm not saying they're all from here. They're probably from another Discord that I have, but still, it's active. And also, if you want to check us out on all audio podcast platforms, you can do so. Link is in the description below. And you can just look up Yankees Unloaded. So let's get to the finale here. Mailbags from Jalen Sestero and Juan Cepeda. Jalen Sestero, man, I love this team. Maybe I'm a little dramatic, but we have such high hopes, and this year's is going to be different. But here we are again, essentially, first two games, our playoff games. We're doing the same old BS, stupid mistakes, bad lineups, can't get clutch hit with runners in scoring position. Now it's Nestor out. Are you guys worried, or do you think we'll be just fine? Need to win one game, and now we're on the verge of a sweep. So that was after our game. So...
Well, I can understand the panic after watching the game, but I mean, the percentages of us winning the division, where they were because of how many games we had to just be able to win one game, or Baltimore losing one game. So now that that's over, that answers your question for you. There's nothing to worry about. What you should be, I shouldn't say concerned about. I understand Nestor Cortez is out. How are we going to get the outs? Totally get it. But what you should be penciling is, what does this Yankees team do against the best pitching in baseball, or some of the best pitchers in baseball, in high leverage situations offensively? That's what they have to do. What do we do? Because if this team's hitting, we're going to go on to the next round and the next round. And when the hitting stops, we go home. That's how this goes. Most teams in baseball, they don't win postseason games 1-0 every day. No, you still get into shootouts. There are going to be times where you go down 3-0 and people say, oh, the big bad Yankees are on the ropes, and your offense has to come out and throw a punch back. That's how this game goes. We've seen the Houston Astros do it. And what do they always talk about? They bring up the word pedigree. It's my favorite word ever, right? And they talk about, oh, you can't count out this Astros team. They just won't go down without a fight, right? They're talking about their offense. They're not talking about relievers or their setup man. No, they're talking about, what type of at-bats do you throw up? What type of habits do you have? Do you find your way back into games when maybe you otherwise shouldn't have? That's something the Yankees are going to have to prove in October. Some people think, well, this team doesn't come back from down 3-0. And it's a valid concern or a conversation. And
most teams don't, though.
Most teams don't come back from down 3-0. But at some point in the postseason, you're going to have to do something that most teams can't do. That's how playoff baseball works. And if we want to be the best team, we've got to be the best team when it matters. So, yeah, I'm not concerned. I'm just paying attention.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I do. I think they have more. The more I look around the league, the more comfortable I feel about the Yankees, because their starting pitching is just so much better than most other teams. Like, most other teams don't have a Nestor Cortez they're losing and have a Stroman who we're complaining about. Like, that's really what it comes down to, is that, you know, even as frustrating as Stroman can be, he's still an asset that other teams don't have. Cody Poteet, for instance, like, the fact that he's even in play, other teams don't have that ability. They have guys that are very unproven that they're probably going to try to turn into Cody Poteet that they haven't even figured it out yet, and they're going to try it in October. And to your point, you can't just be fiddling around with mechanics, just like you can't be fiddling around with your bullpen. Like we said, you got to figure out who your closer is going to be before you get into the big dance. Yankees have done that. You got to figure out what your lineup is going to be day to day. For the most part, the Yankees have done that. It sounds like Alex Verdugo and Jason Dominguez will probably go back and forth platooning. I don't agree with it, but I'm expecting them to do that type of thing. But at least, like, for the most part, their lineup is pretty much what it is, you know? And I guess that's the good thing. This is, like, the first time, by the way, with this lineup that they've actually scored runs. So shout out to that. Well, I guess they scored runs when we were there, but it was, you know, a total comeback job. Not necessarily they dominated. I think I feel really good about this team right now. Obviously, if Nestor was healthy, I'd feel even better. But I also can't stress enough, I don't like the rest of the league's found. Like, the foundation of the league is really the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Padres, the Guardians. And then I think every other team is in it. But those are the four elite teams. I think you'd say the elite four. You could definitely say the Phillies, too. I think the Phillies, obviously, they're tied for the best record in the bigs. But, you know, they've had their up and down moments as well. I'd probably say Philly. So, yeah, there's probably like five elite teams. But in the grand scheme of those, do you think any of those five teams are some of the all-time teams? Absolutely not. There's not an elite team that stretches beyond this year is what I would say. So I'm not concerned. And then Juan Cepeda, hey, guys, do you think the Yankees are to blame for the lack of experience that Dominguez has in left field because they were too worried about playing service time gymnastics? And if this continues, do you think he's kept off the postseason roster? Thanks for your time and have a blessed night. I'll say this, Gary. It wouldn't be hard for him to be kept off the postseason roster. He didn't make the team photo. So he's not in the team photo. He missed it somehow. I don't know what he was doing, but he missed it. So I guess it'd be easy to snip him off the roster. He's going to be on the roster, guys. I'm not worried about that. But I think he makes a great point. Yeah, he's playing left field, rarely played left field in the minors, barely played left field. And I do wonder if the dimensions of Yankee Stadium, because left field, you've said, is tougher to play. It's why Juan Soto plays right. I almost wonder if Juan Soto would be better in left and you'd have Jason Dominguez better in right. I don't know, but I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think so, because we remember we looked at the analytics of what Juan Soto has been defensively over the last few years, not just these last two. And yeah, the numbers have shown a pretty steep decline defensively for Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. And the way he's played Yankee Stadium, and we know there's been plays where he looks lost, no question about it, especially at the wall. But I will say this, his numbers, at least analytically, are very good as a Yankee in right field. So I don't touch that. And I'll tell you this, Juan Soto is not fleet of foot. He's not running down balls at the 399 sign out there in left field. And I know he's not paid to do that. But if you're looking at Jason Dominguez, he's far more qualified in terms of speed, right? Just foot speed to make the plays. Alex Verdugo, in terms of foot speed, is much more qualified to go run down a ball in the left center gap. Now, he's been a little less defensively than in terms of Verdugo than what we maybe were anticipating, but he's been about league average. So, yeah. And that started off good this season. As his bat declined, so did his glove and everything else. So, but as far as the question, Jason Dominguez, we don't know why Jason Dominguez wasn't playing left field in the minor leagues. Very clearly, the Yankees knew we're in a win now season. We're not moving Aaron Judge out of center field. He's not going to be able to move to DH. So clearly, we've got Soto anchored in right. The only other position is left field, where Alex Verdugo is currently playing. Well, why wouldn't Jason Dominguez, who you know is going to get called up at some point, why wouldn't he be playing left field? It does not make sense. Nobody has an explanation for me. And if the Yankees say, well, we were trying to develop him, he's not a good left fielder. Well, why would he, if he's not a good left fielder and you needed more time to develop, why would he be in center field all of a sudden? How would that help? Kevin Kiermaier, if we signed Kevin Kiermaier to a contract this offseason, do you guys really think that if we moved him from his traditional position in center field and threw him in left or right field, he would struggle? He wouldn't. It wouldn't take him time to say, what do I do at Yankee Stadium? No, it wouldn't. It's just, are you a good outfielder? Do you have some feel? Sometimes dimensions can help you as a fielder, but if you flat out are looking lost in a position, it's not suddenly just going to fix itself by throwing you at another position. So in my opinion, Jason Dominguez defensively, as of now, is a problem. He's not good defensively. Now, we've seen, especially live, I mean, we saw his bat speed at the stadium. It is special. What he's going to do offensively is going to be game-changing talent, and we hope that it materializes into game-changing production. And so that's what he's doing, and the only reason that if you say, well, if he's that bad of a fielder, just throw him at DH, well then –
where are you putting Stanton?
Giancarlo Stanton can't play, which, by the way, a lot of our listeners probably would say, I'm okay with that. I'm okay dealing with what comes with that. But I will tell you this. If Giancarlo Stanton's not in there, remember what I said earlier. You are seeing Alex Verdugo in left field. I'm just telling you. That's what Boone will do. So understand, when you make one decision, you may be allowing Boone to make another decision behind that you may not like.
It's almost like Judge should just play first base.
Almost.
But, I mean, regardless of that, I think Judge should be in left field, personally. I think Dominguez should be in center. He's never made an error out in center field. He's made two. So he's made four in left field and two in center field in his career. But he's got a better fielding percentage. He's also, to be fair, he's made four in left field, and he's only played – he started 66 games in left field, right? He started 264 in center field and has only had three errors. So,
yeah, that's better. I'm going to assume, though, that he's not a good fielder. I don't think there's any chance that you're just like,
I think bad. The hope was that he was really athletic and they were going to he was just going to cover a lot of ground. If I'm being honest, and I am, because I told you at the stadium, I took one look at Jason Dominguez just totally botching that ball, because that should have been caught.
He didn't even get a glove on it.
No, that was terrible. Jason Dominguez is going to be the DH after Stanton. They're going to keep Judge out there. He's not going to want a DH. He's not. Okay. He'll fight them on it. We'll disagree with that. He should at least play first. Maybe he does. But it will be Spencer Jones. I think Spencer Jones,
okay,
he plays a good outfield, and I think he's going to be a part of this future. I really do. I think, the reason why I believe that is because they would have already traded him by now if he wasn't, truthfully. And I think it was definitely important to see what he was doing going into the postseason for the minors. I think he's definitely next in line. He could see time next year. He really could. He'd probably end up being one of the September call-ups. Depending on how the season goes, maybe we see him earlier. But yeah, I think we're looking at Jason Dominguez being a DH or learning how to play the infield in some capacity, which I wouldn't rule out, because if he just can't do the outfield thing, they're going to try to get him on the field. You know, so
and we've seen this before as well. Clint Frazier was in a similar situation. We started him in right field, and I will say this: technically, Jason Dominguez could absolutely improve, and being in center field could help.
Yeah, he's 21 years old,
but at the same time, it may not. Right? I there are not many players. Obviously, there a list does exist, but there's not many great defensive players or like highly serviceable defensive players in baseball that started off as like failing defensive players. I think Derek Jeter is one of them, right? Derek Jeter was a player who came up into the big leagues. He was not good at shortstop, guys. And I hate to break it to you. I'm sure a lot of people understand this, but a lot of the Yankees brass said, no, hold on a second. Let's keep this kid at shortstop. He's gonna make his mistakes, get his lumps out, but he will be a polished product by the end of his career or the middle, right? And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going to try and be patient with him. It's just hard to be patient when we're throwing him in the middle of a pennant race.
Yeah, I get that. And defense is under a microscope in the postseason. But that is going to do it for us. But we always have a it's a ritual here on this show.
Is it your turn?
No, it's your turn because mine was the purge.
All right, well, I got one. Okay, I'm going to go with the Batman. The latest Batman. I was a huge fan of it. I thought it was really good. I thought the Penguin was really good. The depiction of the Penguin was spectacular. I know that show has just come out. I'm not sure exactly where that show is, but I'll be watching
HBO.
HBO, there you have it. So yeah, the Batman.
I'll probably watch it after we're done here, because that was already my plan. But not the Batman. That's 3 hours. I won't sleep until...
Wait, your plan wasn't to sleep?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Nope. I slept enough. I got like 6 hours, so we're good.
There you go.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'll get to bed soon, but I was like, we'll record Yankees Unloaded, and then I'll watch The Penguin. Because everyone's telling me to watch The Penguin, and I'm like, all right. And it's like...
Yeah, it looks good.
It better not be a... Better not be one of those Animal Channel. It's like, oh yeah, watch The Penguin for those like no one knows, like there's no context ahead of time. Like, oh yeah, the Penguin's a Batman character. I turn it on, and it's Morgan Freeman, like the Penguin. It's like, oh my just God. Penguins.
No, it looks good. It looks does. Like it looks like I liked where they took the Batman. It was more realistic. It wasn't as Hollywood like, and Batman in general. That trilogy was spectacular. I think this trilogy actually has a chance to be just as good. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to watching it when we get off here. So check out The Batman, or not check it out. Well, yeah, check it out too if you haven't already. It's a 3-hour movie, so make sure you have some time blocked out. But yeah, that'll do it. Be sure to drop The Batman in the comments section below. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
And like this video.